And all God's people said, amen. I want you to know I'm pumped. I'm ready to roll. We've had missions conference, so I've been held back from preaching several weeks, and boy, that's like the holding back the dam, and it's going to spring on you this morning, and we've got communion as well. But I want to begin our Advent season. This is the first Sunday of Advent, of approaching the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to bring a series of messages on the name of Christ, or the names of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've done this before. For those of you that have been here a while, you know that every year, for a number of years, we celebrated our Christmas season with one particular service called a Chrismon service. And it was at that service that we'd gather on Sunday evenings with a tree that was totally dedicated to the names of Christ. And we would decorate that tree with some of the names of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a wonderful service of exaltation, of loving the Lord Jesus Christ and discovering a new name that perhaps we have not understood. I also challenge the congregation every year that in December and as you approach the end of the year, go through our list of 640 names of Christ. 640 names of Christ in Scripture. Elmer Towns wrote a book and says there's 1,000. Well, I don't know where he gets all those, but I got 640. And we should go through and look for a name that we're going to take as the name of Jesus for that year. And we encourage you to take the name of the Lord Jesus Christ seriously in your life. As we look at these, we're going to begin with Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, but there's going to be many other passages that we look at leading us right into Christmas Eve service. So this morning, I want to introduce that to you. First of all, we can get those slides up there. The name of the Lord. There are some wonderful promises concerning the name of the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10, the instruction is that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are safe. Now, I say that's an instruction. It's not just a statement of fact. It is an instruction that the righteous will run to the name of the Lord and take their refuge in it. So the name of the Lord is not just the name God, and the name of Jesus is not just the name J-E-S-U-S, but it's far greater than that. And God says there's a wonderful mystery about the name of the Lord, that it's indescribable. It's beyond comprehension. It's more than we could number if we spent the rest of our days thinking about His name. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. And the righteous who know it run to it, and they are safe. And then in Malachi chapter 3, there's a wonderful promise given to God's people. And it says, then they that feared the Lord spoke often to one another, and the Lord listened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought on His name. Now, that passage goes on to say, and in that day I will make up, when I make up my jewels, they will be part of my crown. You see, God's instruction for us and His promise to us is that we think on His name, meditate on His name, make His names part of our lives, and we will be enriched. And when we get to heaven, we'll understand that. And God says, you will be my special jewels. Now let's turn to the passage we're dealing with this morning. In your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. It's a wonderful passage. There are many different translations that deal with it. I'm going to give it to you in the New King James, but you may have it in the NIV. It's similar, but there are some differences that are significant. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Now remember, this is a Christmas passage. It's a passage where Isaiah is receiving from the Lord revelation concerning the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is talking about Jesus. He is not talking about God the Father. He is talking about a government, a governor that will come, and the government will be on his shoulders. And then he gives the names, or just a few of those names that highlight who this great governor is. And I'm going to be reading verses 6 to 8, but you will have before you just verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. and the government shall be upon his shoulder. I want you to stop right there. And we're going to go into that in a moment. But it says, unto us a son is born. Unto us is someone that God prepared to be our Savior, who is God Himself. We read in Matthew chapter 1 that His name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. So make no mistake, those of you that perhaps come from other denominations or maybe even from cults, and you have some difficulty with Jesus being God, stick your nose in this passage and rub it up against here and get familiar with it. Because the next words are going to define who this son that is to be born will be. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Now your NIV does not have a comma there. It says Wonderful Counselor. I'm going to explain that in a minute, but I'm going to put a comma there. His name is Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I love preaching about this passage because Jesus promised that we are to exalt His name together, that He is exalted yet more and more, and His name is exalted even far above His Word. And so when I read that passage, I have no fear and no shame to call my Lord Jesus Christ the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Do you get it? It's God incarnate, God come in the flesh, God pouring Himself into that babe in the manger and being our Savior, taking on flesh and living His life among us, and we beheld His glory as of the glory of the only begotten of God. John doesn't mince any words in the Gospel of John and in 1 John. He calls Him who He is, God. Thomas, when he doubted so much about Jesus and His resurrection, said, unless I put my fingers in the nail prints and thrust my hand into His side, I will not believe. And then Jesus came back and showed Himself in that upper room and showed Himself to Thomas this time and says, Thomas, come here. I love that. You hear Him speak? And that deep voice to Thomas, Thomas, come here. I heard your doubt. Take your finger and put it into my nail prints. And take your hand and thrust it into my side. I think that's interesting. I wouldn't want to do that. But Jesus was emphatic about, don't lose your faith in who I am. I mean, put your finger into my nail prints and take your hand and thrust it into my side, right through the other side. So I don't want you to be doubting. I want you to believe who I am. I am the resurrection and the life. And Thomas fell on his knees before the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you ever hear and read what he said? He said, my Lord and my God. Wow. You start teaching some of these things to Jehovah's Witnesses and to Mormons, and they'll get a little bit nervous about who Jesus is, because God's Word is very clear about the exalted name of the Lord Jesus because of who He is. Are you with me? All right, we're going to look at three things that are pointed out in this passage. And each week as we approach the Christmas season, right up unto the Christmas Eve service, we're going to take a portion of this passage and deal with it. But this morning I want to deal with His name is Wonderful. He is wonderful. I want you to say the word with me because it's a significant word. And the word is wonderful. I want you to let it roll off your lips with me. We're going to say it together, okay? Wonderful. Do it again. Wonderful. Now, if you're Eastern European, you probably said wonderful. It's not wonderful. It's wonderful. Full of wonder. Christmas is a time of wonder. Do you remember when you were little? Some of you may have a difficult time with that. I love going back home and visiting with my family. We talk about the special Christmas mornings in a family of eight with six children, and how Dad and Mom didn't have much, but Christmas they did everything possible to get us at least one really good gift and a lot of other plastic gifts, other things. But it was a morning of wonder. We used to have a two-story house, and it was an old house, so there were radiators in the floor, and the heat would come up, but the radiators above were right above the radiator for the living room. And so we found out as boys that we could go to the radiator and open it up and peer down into the living room before Mom and Dad knew. And it was tough because that radiator would squeak as we'd open it. And we'd go, "Urch!" But I'll tell you, I remember those wonder-filled Christmas mornings when we peeked and immediately the response was, whoever saw it first went, "Oh, Santa Claus came." Of course, we didn't believe that. We were never taught that, but we said it anyway. That's something about wonder. "Oh, Santa Claus came." And then there's the excitement of running downstairs and then running into the living room, and you see the tree, then you see the presents all around the tree. My parents didn't wrap the presents. They were smart. Why waste money? They put the presents open in front of the tree. So that added to the wonder of peeking down there and going, "Oh, my present." And we run down and we stand in the living room. And for the first few moments, nobody grabbed any toys. We just looked and we went, "Oh." That's the word wonder. His name is Wonderful. The first thing I want to point out in this passage is His name. His name, as literally in the Hebrew, Hashem. Hashem. And it means the name. Jewish people that understand the name of God do not say the name of God. They say what Jewish people have said throughout all time, because when God introduced Himself, He always introduced Himself with a name that was above every name, a name that was unspeakable, a name that God Himself knew that was so holy nobody should utter it. And so when it was written with consonants and without vowels, so you couldn't pronounce it, and yet we've tried to find ways to pronounce it. But this word Hashem that the Jews use about Jesus and the Scripture uses about the name is a very significant, honorable position for His name. It is about His fame and His conspicuous renown. That is, the name doesn't name Him. The name doesn't really confine Him. It doesn't define Him. It can't. His name is bigger than that. And God knew that from the beginning. So He gave His name and He said, "Don't speak my name." We don't know what that name is. The Jews have tried to protect it, and so over the period of time, they have come up with the Tetragrammaton, which is a spelling of the name that is not exactly how you pronounce it. It's unpronounceable, it's unspeakable, and they wanted to keep it that way. But we have defined it, and in some of your Bibles, study Bibles, you will see the word Yahweh, or the spelling YHWH. There it is. Yahweh. We put words in there, or we put vowels in that so we can pronounce it. How do you pronounce YHWH without a vowel? There is no way to pronounce it. That was deliberate. Because the Jews felt that God's name was so holy, it's not to be trampled underfoot, it's not to be used every day. It is a holy name that before God in heaven, we will someday be introduced to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the God of all glory. And He said He will put His name in our foreheads. Now, I'm not sure He's going to tattoo it, but I think He's going to put it inside. So we know the name, even though we haven't been able to pronounce it, and we will understand it. In our Bibles, wherever you see the word Jehovah, or in most of the authorized versions, or King James Version, or New King James, or American Standard Version, you will see the word Lord with all capitals. When you see that, you know that the word behind it is this Tetragrammaton. this word that is unspeakable. But we have to say it. In reading some Jewish documents today, many of the Jews will talk about God, and they'll go G, underline D, but they will not say His name. That's because Hashem is not a name that we say. We call Him the name. It's a great way to honor His name. His name is great. There are some magnificent truths for us in this, because His name is a name that should be renowned by all of us, reverenced by all of us, in ways that are similar to what was done in the Jewish community. The Jews called Him the name Hashem, but they also called Him Shem HaMiforash, which means the ineffable name. It's like lifting up that name very delicately and saying, it's the name. Would you say that with me? The name. The name. No, do it right. You gotta hold your hands up. The name. Are you doing that downstairs? The name. When we come across the word Lord in all caps, there should be something up all within us that say, Lord. Lord. Because He is holy. He is honorable. His name is inexpressible. The second thing I want to point out is His, not just His name, but His government. It says, the government shall be upon His shoulder. This child that is born, this son is given, the government will be upon His shoulder. Now, we look at Jesus, and when the disciples were waiting for Messiah, for the deliverer, for the Savior to come, they had an expectation that He was going to be a governor, a king, a mighty battle warrior that was going to defeat the Roman Empire and set up a kingdom in Israel, and they all would have special places in that kingdom. Well, that didn't happen, and Jesus told His disciples, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were of this world, my disciples would fight, and we'd bring about the kingdom. But His kingdom is in heaven, and it is over all the universe, and not just over Israel. It is in our hearts and in our lives, or it is not at all. Do we understand that? Either Jesus is the governor, the king, the Lord of your life, or He is not Lord at all. Either we exalt Him to His rightful place, His holy position in our lives, or He has no people over whom He governs. He governs us. And it is a willing governance, in which we surrender our lives to Him and say, Lord Jesus, be my Savior. Come into my life and forgive my sins and live in me. That's an invitation for lordship. That's an invitation to be my King, King Jesus. I can't wait till I get to heaven. Well, I have to wait, but I can't wait till I get to heaven. Because we're going to see Jesus as we've never seen Him before. And I like to picture things. I like to imagine what it's going to be like. But Scripture says, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have imagined any of us the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. But I like to imagine anyway. Would you do that with me? Here you come through heaven's gates. And if you've read Don Piper's book on 90 Minutes in Heaven, you see his picture of what he remembers as he went to heaven and then came back. We're coming to those golden gates. We're hearing all of the music that he said was multifaceted. It wasn't just like our music. It wasn't drums and guitars. It was every kind of music and every kind of song being sung at once, but all of it blended together. We come to those gates, and he says, they're not pearl gates. They're pearlescent. They look like pearls, but they're indescribable. So we call them pearly gates. You come to those gates, and when you walk through those pearly gates into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, I love to picture Jesus on a white horse, that beautiful stallion, bigger than any we've ever seen. And the master of the universe is on that horse. And when we walk through and see him for the first time, his horse rears up on its rear legs, and Jesus looks down on us and he smiles. He says, welcome home. Wow, that's my king. And you know what I'm going to do when he does that? I'm not going to say, can I ride your horse? And the Hoskins have great horses, but you don't have a horse like this one. All of us, when we see Jesus, are going to get off our high horse. And we're going to do what all the elders and all the creatures before the throne do every time the name of Jesus is lifted up and exalted in heaven. Do you remember what that is? We're going to fall down. Whoops! Yeah, we're going to fall down on our faces. Kerplunk! Wow! And we're going to bow before Him and say, Lord, You are worthy of all honor and all glory and all praise. To You is everything. And that's exactly what goes on in heaven. We need to start using that kind of worship today. Now, I'm not suggesting that we should all fall down. But there are times in our private devotions and our times when God reveals Himself to us that all of us ought to be stricken with a holy awe in which we say, Lord, You are Lord, You are my Lord. When we sing that song of the love of God, there's something in us that ought to stir because we have fallen in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, this government over us is a government of love. When you fall in love with Jesus, you fall in love with your Creator. You fall in love with the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Something happens. He becomes the all-encompassing, most important person in the whole wide world. Do not believe Sesame Street. You are not the most important person in the whole wide world. Do you remember that, kids? Parents, you grew up with that? Our kids did. The most important person in the whole wide world is you, and you hardly even know you. Hey, let's get it where it's at. The most important person in the whole wide world is Jesus, and you hardly even know Him. And if you spend your life studying Him, you'll not yet know Him. And finally, this government over us, this government of love and falling in love with Jesus is about embracing Him and taking Him with you everywhere you go. It's the name that's above every name, a name that is given to you with a privileged position as a child of God to use His name. Here are 10 things that you ought to do with the name of the Lord Jesus. And I won't belabor it. I've given it to you before. All these things will be available on our website. You can pick them up, and probably more than you ever wanted to read will be there. The name, we should first of all discover it. That's why I'm suggesting at the outset of this series, we're going to be giving you multiplied numbers of names of the Lord, listing those names, defining those names. We have a devotional on our website. Just go to the Christmas bulb that's up in the right-hand corner, click on that, and you'll go to 30, 31 days of the names of Christ. And savor the name of Christ. Know it. Discover it. And find one of those names that's significant, that God echoes in your heart. The second thing we do is confess it. You know, it's so shameful that most of us as believers fail to confess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ during the week. And I hope it's not when you smash your thumb with a hammer that you confess the name of the Lord Jesus. That confessing the name of the Lord Jesus is confessing to God that you belong to Him, that you love Him, that He's your Savior, but it's also confessing Him before man. Think back to this week. Have you this week confessed the name of the Lord Jesus before your colleagues at work?
Oh, that's not permitted. I work in a school system.
So what? You're allowed to have a life. You're allowed to confess His name and share your own life in your private conversations. Did you do it? Most of us don't. We shame the name by hiding the name. It's the precious name of Jesus by which we are saved. And then sing the name. Oh, there are so many songs about the name of the Lord. It's a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. The name of the Lord. Find some songs and sing it to the Lord. Shout His name. That means proclaim it boldly. Don't be timid about the name of Jesus. We're not supposed to go, Hashem. See, we could say the name of Jesus. We can confess the name of the Lord Jesus. We can shout the name of the Lord Jesus and glorify God. And I'm suggesting also that we write it down. Write it down. In a few minutes, if time permits, I'm going to share with you some of the chrismons, the graphic illustrations of Jesus. And some of the early Christians in the caves in Rome where they were hiding out, they did graffiti on the walls. Did you ever see graffiti on walls in the bathroom? Don't read it. But the graffiti in the caves underneath Rome were worthy to be read because they were the names of Jesus.
I challenge you, if you haven't yet visited our youth center downstairs, go down there. The platform, where the orchestra or the worship band stands, behind that scene are the names of Christ written on the wall. It's a wonderful thing. We need to learn to write down His name and pray His name, call upon His name. We pray in the name of Jesus, but we call upon His name. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And then think on His name and meditate on it and reverence it and honor it. And lastly, embrace it. Adopt the name of Jesus. Take His name and say, Lord, this year I'm going to take that name. It's Your name for me throughout the year. I've done that every year for a number of years, and it becomes the most precious name in all the earth. Lastly, we see not just the wonder of that name or the government of the name, but the wonder of His name. Now, those words that are different in King James and NIV. NIV has omitted the comma between wonderful counselor. And there is a reason for that. It's rather complicated. Do you remember Handel's Messiah? And they come to that passage where they sing about His name is, He's wonderful counselor. The mighty God, the everlasting Father. Well, I'm not singing it right, but you know the idea. And that's taken from King James, but it's also taken from study of those that have studied it and said, the name wonderful here stands alone. It is not a hyphenated name for counselor. It is not an adverb modifying counselor. In fact, the word wonderful here is a noun. It is a proper name. Now that blows our mind because it's hard to translate that proper name as one. Actually, the word ought to be, His name is called the Wonder. The Wonder. And then the second name that follows close on the heels of that is Counselor, and that befuddles our minds because it's a verb. It is not a noun. It is a verb. And it's the verb of counseling or doing counsel. It has the idea with it that Jesus is our advocate. He's our mediator. He's our go-between before the Father. But He's that wonderful counselor. Wonderful in Himself. Counseling as what He does for us. And then it goes on with all of the other names of the Lord. It is a wonderful name that He has. Let me suggest in closing, there are some wonderful things about the name of Jesus that most of us have yet to discover. On our website and in the notes for this morning's sermon, you will find 45 names, Jehovah names, for Jesus. 45. I have them here in my notes, but I'm not going to read them all for you. But those are the names that are hyphenated, Jehovah, Jireh, Jehovah, Nisi, Jehovah. And we found 45 of those that you can use and understand and think about who the Lord is. And then we have over 70 pictorial names. We call those chrismons. They can be put in bulbs or put on images and put on the tree to exalt the name of the Lord. They are picture graphics, crystallographs of who Jesus is. And then there are 95 beautiful names of God. The Muslims have had this for centuries, and they meditate on the names of God. Christians just recently have taken that over. And they were celebrating 2,000 years of Christ's life, and a bunch of men and women got together and said, why don't we follow the trail of the Magi? Why don't we follow the trail of the wise men? And so they did a caravan. They had camels, and they had people walking. And they decided to walk from Jerusalem, or from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, and follow that trail that the wise men took. It took them 3 months, but they prepared well in advance. They said, you know, this takes about 3 months. It's about 99 days. And since we're proclaiming the name of the Lord as we walk this walk, and we're doing as the Magi, we're searching for the Lord God. And the Muslims are searching for God. Let us adopt the name of Jesus for every day, right from the Quran, for their wonderful names or beautiful names of God. And so they did. Every morning they got up and had a devotion about one of those names. And both the Quran and our scriptures have that name in it. And every day they celebrated the name of Jesus. And when they stopped in villages and stayed overnight with Muslim people, they shared with them the name of God. Of course, they weren't saying the name of Jesus because they didn't want to jump all over them, but they were teaching them that this name is the same name that we call on. And lastly, under those 99 names, they share with the Muslims that there's one missing. To make the completion of 100.
That name is Jesus. Wow, what a wonderful way to meditate on the name of the Lord. And then there are 640 descriptive names of the Lord Jesus. And let me just give you a glance at each one of those. The Jehovah names, oh, you already did that. Okay, the descriptive names, advocate, alien, alive evermore, all in all, all-knowing, almighty, Alpha and Omega, altar, all together lovely, amen, and ancient of days. All of these are alphabetical. Obviously, there's many more than that. But it's good to go through there and feel who the Lord is. In conclusion, I want to ask you a question this morning. Who is Jesus to you? Who and what is He to you? Is He the most precious name above all names? Is He that holiest of names, the name by which you find your salvation, but also the name that you run to and find safety and security in Jesus? I want to challenge you this Christmas season to search out the names of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah said His name is Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and He was just getting started. And would you take that name or one of those names with you every day of the year? We're going to close before our communion service with a wonderful song. And the stewards have put this on a DVD video. And I just think it's wonderful because the song is Jesus' names, who He is in every book of the Bible. It takes about 6 minutes, so sit back and enjoy the name of Jesus.